Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast. The RTC features only the best OTR on our live stream, where we also invite you to tune in and enjoy the Radio Book Channel and the RTC Music Channel, all found at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
I'm glad you could join us for this edition of the Radio Theater Channel's weekly podcast. Today we have a mixed bag of things to listen to, but it's all good. We're going to start off with adventure. I love adventure and the assignment of the displaced person. This is from 1948.
The American Broadcasting Company presents I Love Adventure. Incident number 11, assignment with a displaced person. A new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie.
I was sitting out front in the A1 Detective Agency office with Doc Long pestering me to get more action in our business or else more women.
Look, Jack, you can't expect a number one Texas boy like me to just sit around the office twiddling his thumb. Let's go get ourselves a rough and tumble shooting case. Either that or let's close up shop and hunt ourselves up a couple of good-looking Hollywood extras.
You're girl crazy.
Of course I'm girl crazy. All Texas boys is girl crazy. Any man with red blood in his veins between the age of 7 and 7 is girl crazy. Or you ought to get his head examined. Look, couldn't you rush around somewhere and hunt us up a case with lots of action in it and lots of women?
You rush around.
Yes, sir, that's my idea. Lots of action, lots of women, and lots of money for a big payoff at the end. I was just thinking.
The door came open aggressively, and there in the outer office stood a tall, blonde, nervous young man. His manner determined, but a look of uneasiness in his eyes and a queer twitch around his mouth. It was the beginning of the strangest manhunt we ever attempted. A manhunt with a beautiful young girl as the wanted person. A lovely young thing named Mary Travers.
I'm looking for Jack Packard.
That's me.
Why don't nobody never come in here looking for me?
Who are you?
I'm Doc Long, doggone it.
Oh.
Well, you don't need to get so dadblame indifferent about it.
Please, Mr. Packard, I've got to have your help. I've got to find a girl. I've got to find her before somebody else gets to her.
Who are you?
John King.
Who's the girl?
Mary Travers.
Who's Mary Travers?
This is her picture. At least this is how she looked in 1941.
Hey, she ain't no more than 10 years old.
Well, she's 17, almost 18 now. If she's alive.
If she's alive.
Yes, and I know she is. I'm sure she is.
You better throw a little more light on this. What's it all about?
Yeah, is this Mary Travers any kin to you?
No, no, no. In 1938, Mary's family and my family lived next door on Hudson Street.
Hollywood?
Yes, that's right. Then Mary and her father and mother went to Europe. They got caught someplace in the invasion of Poland, and, well, that's the last anybody ever heard of them. Well,
that's 10 years ago.
I know it. One report came back that Mary and her mother and father were killed. Well, everyone believed it.
But what about the Travers family back home? Didn't they do no investigating?
There isn't any family back home, just Mary and her parents.
But why bring the matter up at this late date?
Hey, here. Look at this second picture.
Second picture?
Oh, hey.
Hello. Same girl.
Same girl growed up, man.
You see what I mean? Mary's alive. She's in danger, but she's alive.
Danger?
Yes, and you've got to find her. I don't know where she is, except I think she's in Mexico.
Oh, why do you think that?
Well, that's got nothing to do with it, but she's in Mexico and she's in danger.
Where'd you get this picture, this grown-up picture of Mary?
Stop asking questions and get busy.
What'd you say your name was again?
John King.
John King? Where have I heard that name before?
Look, it isn't John King you're interested in. It's Mexico and Mary Travers. That's where the trouble is.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tectum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus.
How can I thank thee, O Father, for sheltering me here in this beautiful, secluded convent all the troublesome years of my childhood, all the troublesome years of the Great War, all the years I've been growing from child to girl and from girl to woman. But, O Father, I thank thee most of all for bringing me Andrew King. I thank thee for selecting this American boy from across the border for me, and sending him to this isolated sector of Mexico, that I might meet him, speak to him, and thereby learn to love him. For all thy graciousness and understanding of a girl who has now come to womanhood, who will presently leave this shelter to go out into the world, for all of this and much, much more, I thank you. Amen.
Sed libera nos a malo. Amen.
Oh, what a lovely service this morning, Carlota.
See?
Oh, I am a lucky person. Do you realize this is the last time you'll probably ever wash the back of Mary Travers? Ah, the water's beautifully warm.
See? The last time.
Oh, what would these sisters say if they ever caught you in here giving me a tub bath?
How many times have you said that these past 10 years? But they never have caught me.
They would look at you severely and say, Carlota, does the convent pay you to cook the food and scrub the floors? Or does the convent pay you to scrub Mary Travers' back? Oh, these sisters try so hard to be severe with their duties. Their hearts are so good.
Sit up, so I may wash the back of your neck.
Oh, Carlota, he's so handsome. Do you suppose he'll love me all my life?
Who?
Who? Who, she asked. Who do you suppose? My young man. My American senor. My Andrew King.
Hmm.
Oh, shame on you, Carlota Bettina Perón. I think you're jealous.
Jealous. It is only that I could shake the shoes off the sisters for keeping you so innocent and untouched in this big, wicked world which feeds on such as you.
Oh, pooh. Ouch! Right on my unprotected back.
Do not say pooh to Carlota. You are a small child sticking out an impudent tongue at an unleashed tiger. You say poo to the world in the vastness of your ignorance.
Today I leave the convent. What is there to fear?
Men?
But I will have Andrew King to protect me.
Perhaps it is he whom you should fear most.
Oh, Carlota, what a one to worry. Today I leave the convent. Tomorrow I will be in Los Angeles, United States.
You are a little idiot. Anda, put your head over the edge of the tub so I can dry your hair.
Oh, I love it. Why do you say I'm an idiot?
You barely know this Andrew King.
My heart knows him.
Puppy love. Why should the Sister Superior let you go out into the world to meet this man whom you have met for 3 times in your life?
4 times, and the sister's right.
The sister is a baby in the arms also when it comes to men. What does she know of this Andrew King?
He came to see her. She could see that we were in love. And just to look at him told her what a fine man he is.
Is he a millionaire?
No.
Is he a capitán of industry?
No.
Is he then perhaps a great political figure?
No, he's just a boy from America.
You see? A miserable loafer. Has he no grace at all to throw himself at such as you with only a workman's pay in his pocket?
Oh, come on, Carlota. Give me a kiss.
What is this kiss business? Is that going to heal your hurts?
Por favor.
Bueno, now you have had your kiss.
Thank you, darling.
Now get out of that tub and let me dry you before the sisters descend on us and give me my notice.
As Mother Superior of this convent, Mary, it has been my duty to collect and keep records of all those who abide here. I think you must have known all along in your heart that you were left orphaned by the war just done. If there is anyone anywhere in the world left carrying your name, we have not been able to find that person.
Yes, Mother.
You came to us here in Mexico from a Spanish refugee ship with $50 in gold coins tied in a handkerchief.
I'd forgotten.
Gold is not a medium of exchange in the world any longer, so we have translated it into Mexican pesos and American dollar.
Oh, you should have it. It's little enough for all these years.
Take it, child. It is yours. Here, put it in your pocket.
Yes, Mother.
My child, it is with misgiving that I let you go out into the world. Los Angeles is a big city.
But I'm going right to Andrew King. I have his address. He said he would be there. You have met Andrew King. What harm can come to me?
You're sure you wouldn't like to remain here, take your orders, and become one of us?
Thank you, Mother.
But you do not wish it?
No.
Then go to Los Angeles. Marry your Andrew King. But remember this, Mary Travers. Keep your heart pure. That is your best defense against the world.
And men?
Men are the world, Mary. Men are the world.
Excuse me, lady.
Yeah, of course.
I was just going to get me a drink of water and a train lurch. I hope you don't mind finding a Texas boy in your lap. Now, you mind if I sat down for a minute?
Oh, tengo la bona de sentarse. Is this Los Angeles we're coming to?
Yeah, and it is sometime. I've been watching you ever since you got on the train.
Yes. There was a look in your eyes.
I bet there was. What an anvil-headed dope I was not to speak to you sooner. Hey, how about spending some time with me in Los Angeles and Hollywood?
Oh, that would be nice, but I cannot.
Oh, you can't, huh?
No, thank you, just the same. But I am going to marry a man.
Oh, lucky man.
He also is an American. Perhaps you would know him.
But what's his name?
Andrew King.
Andrew King. Hey, not Andrew King.
You know him?
Well, what a meeting this is. So you Andy King's girlfriend.
Oh, that is wonderful if you know him.
Look, honey, what is your name?
Mary Travers.
Huh? Did you say Mary Travers?
Yes.
Well, what you know? Look, Mary, you just put yourself in Papa's hands when we get into Los Angeles. We'll dig up Andy King. We get you a marriage license. You're going to be queen of the May.
Oh, but I have his address.
Just leave everything to me. Just put yourself in the hands of a man that knows.
Aren't we beginning to slow down?
We're coming in the station. You got much bag?
Just one case.
Oh, straw suitcase, huh? I got me a duffel bag and overnight kit up ahead. I've been down to Mexico a couple of weeks doing some investigating. Oh, what a train.
This is Los Angeles.
Yes, yes, sir. I'll go up front and get my baggage, and I'll meet you on the platform in just a minute.
Hurry, little girl. You can lose yourself in the crowd.
But I'm waiting for a friend.
Friend? Oof, that one is no friend. Run, mix in the crowd. You can lose him.
Who are you?
I am one who sat right behind you. Everything that Texas man said, I heard.
Oh, he was friendly.
I saw the look in his eyes. So did you.
He knows Andrew King.
No, he does not. Whoever Andrew King is, he does not know him. It is you he wants.
Well, I don't know.
Hurry, lose yourself. Yes. He's coming. He's looking.
Yes.
Go to the address you have. Go to your Mr. King. Lose yourself, quickly.
Please, what was that?
It is the voice of the vehicle of death.
Vehicle of death?
Ambulance.
Somebody has died?
To the north, there has been an explosion. Would you like a bag of hot popcorn?
No. Is that what you have in your wagon? Popcorn?
Sure, sure. Peanuts, popcorn.
Please, I will have a bag of popcorn.
That's good, nice. I see you got an old straw suitcase. I guess you just come to this country, huh?
Oh, please. I cannot find the avenue called Sunset. Do you know it?
Sunset? Yes. See, the longest street in America. Stay with the main street here. Go to the north, must stay with the main street. You lost, maybe?
If only it wasn't getting dark. No, if I can find the avenue called Sunset, then I'm not lost.
The vehicle of death.
The vehicle of death.
The dead ride well, young lady. I have never ridden in a carriage half so grand. Your popcorn, miss.
What? Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Eat with a clear conscience.
Good night.
Good night. You know, it's a popcorn, fresh popcorn with the salt and the butter.
Such a big world. I could have stayed with the sisters in Mexico. I could have stayed at the convent. Night is a dangerous time for women. That's what Carlota said. In Los Angeles, night is a dangerous time for women. The dead ride well, young woman. I've never ridden half so well. Half so well. Mary Travers, that is childish talk. That is not what his sisters taught you. You are not lost. Not really. You are walking to meet your lover. Keep to the north. Walk on Main Street. You will come to the avenue called Sunset. 37 North Maiden Lane. Just off Sunset. There you will come to Andrew King. And there you will come to protection. And there you will...
Oh, no! Take your hands off me!
What's the matter, honey? You're not too receptive.
Let go of me!
I took it by surprise. I'm sorry.
Oh, please take your hands off me.
Be reasonable, honey.
I don't want to scream. I don't want to make trouble, but I can't help it. If you don't let go of me
okay,
right away...
Okay. That's too bad we can't get together.
This is what Carlotta meant. A woman rushes from the arms of one man to the arms of another. This is what the Mother Superior meant. Men are the world, Mary. Men are the world. I'll never find it. The night is dangerous and I'll never find it. The night is dangerous and I'm lost. The night is dangerous and I'm lost.
This is the end, lady.
What?
You can't go no further this way.
Who are you? Who are you, Stephen?
I'm a city guard. Don't you see the red flares? This street's blocked off.
But I'm not.
Now look. There was an explosion this afternoon. A crew was cleaning up the wreckage of a chemical plant which blew up 3 weeks ago. There still were some explosives buried in the mess when the machinery hit it. Wham!
We heard ambulances.
Yeah, you sure did, Aunt Lady. The last of them cleared out only a few minutes ago. All the dead taken away. But the big tragedy was the wrecked houses.
They blew up houses?
Yeah, one whole block on both sides of North Maiden Lane.
No.
Hmm?
No!
Oh, here. Here, sit down on the steps. You sick? You had too much to drink?
No. Not Maiden Lane.
Every house from number 22 to 44.
37?
In the very heart of the explosion.
Then where is Andrew King? Then where is my love? What have they done to my future?
Get out of the way there. Get out of the way. Let the girl through. Make room. Get out of the way there.
Hey, what is this? What do you want here?
This girl's ill. You run this place?
Why do you bring her here? She don't belong here. Get her out of here. Who are you?
City guard for the restricted area on North Maiden Lane.
Where the explosion went off this afternoon?
Yeah. This girl lost a friend at 37 North Maiden Lane.
In the days, is that it?
Yeah. Take her in the back room and call the police.
This is no place for a nice girl like her.
Well, I gotta get back with the red flares to warn others. I'll have to leave her here with you.
All right, I'll do what I can with her.
That's good enough. Having her wait too long now.
This way. Come on.
What is this place?
The Cafe of the Blue Pig. Enter this room, please, and make yourself comfortable.
It smells wicked.
Didn't I say it was no place for a dame like you? Here, sit down. I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to call the cops.
Men are the world. Men are the world.
Yeah, sit there until I return.
What must I do? 37 North Maiden Lane is destroyed. Andrew King is no more. I'm lost in the world. Lost in the world. The Mother Superior said, men are the world. Men everywhere. Carlotta said, there is no protection against men except your man. Your own man. And he is gone. No protection except your own man. And he is gone. No protection. No protection. And he is gone. Yes. Yes. Somebody knocking.
Hello.
What do you want?
So this is where you've been hiding from me, eh?
Who are you?
Oh, hey, honey, you remember me. I'm a Texas boy you met on the train.
Oh, yes.
He's going to wait for me on the platform, and you didn't do it.
You've been following me.
Sure.
You didn't have any intention of taking me to Andrew King at all. You didn't have any such honest intention, did you?
Oh, now, look, honey. Let me have some more dope about this Andrew King. What goes with you and him?
I don't want to talk about him.
Oh, don't, huh?
He's dead. I don't want to talk about it.
He's dead?
It was at 37 North Maiden Lane where the explosion was this afternoon.
That's the address he gave you, huh?
Why do you care? You didn't even know him.
Why, sure, I knowed him. What makes you say that? I told you on a train.
The girl hasn't got a chance, is she? Men everywhere. The bad ones trying to take you from the good ones. The good ones never around when you need them.
Hey, now, wait a minute. What gives
you? You just said you knew Andrew King to get me to go with you. You were just using him for a lure.
Oh, so that's how come you dashed off into the crowd.
Why don't you go away? I'm not the kind of girl you think I am.
Oh, come on. Now, give with this Andrew King business. Where'd you meet him at?
At Oriole.
Is that a town in Mexico?
A village. Near the convent, St. Boniface Lebo.
Oh, huh.
Twice, I met him in the marketplace. Then at the convent, when he met the Mother Superior. And the last time, he came again, and his sisters let us walk in the garden together.
You mean you just only met him four times?
But it was love the first time. One time, four times, 1,000 times, it is not different.
Mm-hmm. How long ago was the last time?
2 months.
How come he neglected you like that?
He's an American. He had to return across the border to Los Angeles. You must not say anything against him. The Mother Superior talked with him. She trusted me to come to him. We were to be married.
Did he write to you during them 2 months?
One. He sent the address where I was to come.
This 37 North Maiden Lane address, huh?
Yes.
Well, why didn't you come back to Los Angeles with him right away if you're so much in love?
It was my wish, but the Mother Superior would not let me. I must stay 2 months more at the convent to be sure, to know for certain through prayer and meditation that I was doing that which I should do.
Oh, I see. I want you to come with me.
No.
Oh, now listen.
No, I have been warned.
Look, you're just a little gal alone and lost and scared in the middle of Los Angeles.
And for that reason, you think I'm at your mercy?
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Well, I'm not.
Hey, you can't do that. Come back here. Wait a minute. Hey, don't try to run across the street. Look out. Look out. Okay, Jack, now you know why the name John King rung a bell in your head.
Yeah, brother of Andrew King, wanted for smuggling and black market operations across the Mexican border.
Check. Now, about this babe, Mary Travers.
Is she in custody?
Yeah.
You don't say that as though you liked it much.
I don't. I'm almost sorry now that I met her on the Yuma L.A. train.
By accident?
Yeah, after combing Mexico for 3 weeks looking for her, I find her riding on the same coach and the same train I am.
Then what?
Well, she tries to give me the slip at the Union Station, and I trail her to 37 North Maiden Lane.
Oh, wasn't that where the chemical laboratory blast went off this afternoon?
Yeah, right in the middle of it.
That's great.
Don't nobody know whether Andrew King was at home or not when the neighborhood blowed up. Mary Travers thinks that he was.
Where is the girl?
Well, I tried to bring her here, Jack, but you know what she thought.
How would I?
Well, she thought I was a Hollywood wolf, and she run out onto Sunset Boulevard trying to get away, and she got hit by automobile.
Dead?
No, she's banged up, but she ain't dead. She's at the St. Catherine Hospital under police guard.
Mm-hmm. I've dug up some more dope on her background. Parents killed in Polish concentration camp. She was about 9 years old then. Escaped camp with other inmates and was next heard of in Spain.
Yeah, she told me that. Sisters of a convent near Oriole, Mexico, tucked her in. She's raised there. That's where she met Andrew King at, in the Oriole marketplace, while he was down there on a smuggling job. Well, she fell in love. First American boy she ever got to know since her kid days.
Well, King took advantage of it.
Yeah, played on her innocence and on the unworldliness of the sisters, so they was willing to let her come to Los Angeles.
To meet King?
To marry him. Can you imagine Andrew King marrying any gal? Well,
maybe he's dead in that explosion.
Maybe he is. I hope so, for Mary's sake. What about this brother John, the one that was in here and got us started on this business?
Well, he's just as right as Andrew is wrong.
Nice kid, huh?
Surprising, isn't it? Twin brothers, one a dog, the other straight.
And John found that grown-up picture, Mary Travers in Andrew's possession, and that's why he knowed she was in so much danger. He knowed Andrew would use her, is that it?
Hey, of course. Doc, did Mary Travers have any baggage with her?
What's the matter, Hugh, son?
Did she?
Why, Sure, battered old straw suitcase.
Well, where is it now?
Why, at the hospital with her.
Well, come on. If Andrew King wasn't killed in that blast, he'll want that straw suitcase, and he'll want it bad.
Oh, Andrew, my darling, how did you find me? How did you know I was here in this hospital?
Mary, listen to me.
But you died in that explosion. I think that's why I ran out into the street, into the traffic. I didn't care about anything.
Mary, you've got to listen to me.
Oh, yes.
Did you put those packages I gave you down in Mexico into your straw suitcase?
Why, of course, Andrew.
Did you bring them across the border all right?
Well, they didn't even stop me. Why should they? There was nothing wrong. You said there was nothing wrong.
And where's the straw suitcase?
I don't know, Andrew.
You don't know?
Oh, please. I think my shoulder was broken when I was hit.
You got to know, Mary.
I was unconscious.
You got to know. You hear me? Tell me where it is.
Andrew.
Hey, what's going on in here?
Yeah, what?
Oh, it's only John King. Honey, what you crying about? This here's John King, who is a sweet guy.
Yeah, I'm John King.
Hey, Dr. Poole, get back to that door. This is Andrew King, his twin brother.
Hey,
oh, no, you don't stop him, Jack!
Hey, don't let him get down those stairs!
Andrew!
Yeah. Andrew King, smuggler. End of chapter.
Then, you're really Mr. Long, the detective. You never meant me any harm any time.
Why, sure, honey, ask me. I don't never mean no girl no harm, no time. Hey, sure's my sidekick, Jack Backen.
Oh, yes, I've seen you in my dreams, too.
Dreams?
The last couple of days. I've told Andrew here all about them.
Andrew?
Now, that's all right. She wants to call me Andrew. What difference does it make? John, Andrew, as long as Mary loves me, and as I've loved her ever since she was 9 years old and lived next door.
Yeah, but this dream...
Well, when I tried to run across Sunset Boulevard and was hit by a car, I guess I was out of my head here in the hospital. I had dreams.
Oh?
I thought Andrew came in here and threatened me. He wanted my straw suitcase. I thought he hurt me, and then you two came running in. I heard gunshots and running... I thought Andrew was killed. Wasn't that an awful dream?
No, terrible.
I still think it really happened. Except here he is standing right by my bed holding my hand.
Andrew, John, what is it, man?
Oh, but, what did happen to the suitcase?
Oh, the hospital attendants put it away. Some policemen came and got it. It must have been very important. They handled it like it was full of gold.
It was important. Evidence in that suitcase is going to smash one of the biggest narcotic smuggling rings in the country.
Mary's not involved.
No. All Mary's involved in is getting well.
And getting married to Andrew.
Oh, by all means, getting married.
That's what the Mother Superior at the convent said. It's a man's world. To belong to the world, a girl must find her man and belong to him. And I found my man, haven't I, Andrew?
That's right, Mary. Call him what you will. You found the right man. But definitely.
You have just heard I Love Adventure, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Michael Raffetto as Jack Packard and Barton Yarborough as Doc Long. Next week, incident number 12, entitled A Hearse on the Highway, an affair of hijacking and death. Other players in tonight's show included Peggy Weber, Lou Krugman, Russell Thorson, Jay Novello, Janet Scott, Nan Boardman, and Frank Richards. Assignment with a Displaced Person was written and produced by Carlton E. Morse. Organ music by Rex Curry. Your announcer, Dresser Dahlstedt.
ABC Radio Network in the late 40s, I Love Adventure, and The Assignment of the Displaced Person. We're going to continue in that vein with another detective, this time Richard Rogue on Rogue's Gallery and the murder at Minden, 1946.
The F.W. Fitch Company, makers of those fine Fitch products, presents Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Hello, Richard Rogue speaking.
Hello, Mr. Rogue. This is Stark McVeigh in Minden, California.
Yeah?
I want to talk to you, Rogue.
Well, you're talking.
I want you to come up here to Minden and do a little job for me. I don't want you to let anybody in this town know who you are. You can register at the hotel as a traveling man, a salesman or something, and I...
Hold it, McVeigh. I can't get away right now.
I wired you $500 expense money. It should be at your office now. Mm-hmm. We'll talk over the rest of the deal when you get here.
Oh, five bills, huh? Well, what kind of a case is it?
A case that pays money. You can get out of there at 7 o'clock, and if you want to take a train...
I'll drive. I'll leave as soon as the $500 arrive. Take me about 2 hours to get there, won't it?
That's right. I'll contact you at the hotel tonight about 9.
Okay, see you then.
Hey, boy, get me a paper, will you, please?
Carry your bag, sir?
Oh, yeah, I want to check in. Here.
Thanks.
Hey, clerk.
Yes?
You got a room?
Well, I don't know.
I didn't ask the price, did I? I'll take anything from a broom closet to the bridal suite. Here, buy yourself a box of cigars to smoke while you're thinking it over.
Oh, thank you, sir. If you'll just register, I think we can take care of you.
Thanks. Have my bag sent up, will you? I'll pick up my key in a minute. Hey, Sonny, got an evening paper?
Yes, sir, but all the news isn't in that paper, mister, believe me.
What do you mean?
There was a murder in town tonight. Just a little while ago, as a matter of fact, a man was shot. Killed. Dead.
All that? Well, Minden is an enterprising community. Who got the business?
A fellow by the name of Stark McVeigh.
We'll return to our story in just a moment, but first here's Jim Doyle to give you some smooth talk on a smooth subject.
Yes, smooth is the word for it, Dick. That describes Fitch's No Brush Shaving Cream to a T. For it has a rich, creamy consistency that spreads over your face like a cool April breeze. There's nothing heavy or greasy about Fitch's No Brush, yet it does a man-sized job when it comes to wilting a tough beard. You see, Fitch's No Brush is a blend of three important shaving ingredients. These are balanced in such a way that you get efficiency in softening whiskers, plus a skin conditioning action that protects your skin from irritation. Yes, they all add up to a shave that's really solid comfort.
You men who say there's nothing like lather for a swell smooth shave will like Fitch's Brush Cream. It gives lots of dense lather that stays moist all during the shave and rinses off easily. It, too, contains the special skin conditioner for sensitive skins.
Both Fitch's Brush and Fitch's No Brush Shaving Cream come in handy jars, big 25 and 50 cent sizes. For smoother, happier shaves, switch to Fitch. And now we return you to Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Well, this case looked like it was officially over before it started. The man I was working for had just been killed. I found that out while I was registering in Minden's only hotel with running water. A bellboy gave me the news, and while I was just standing there with my mouth hanging open, a big beefy guy eased up to me and said,
"You're Richard Rogue, aren't you?"
"Oh, my name's Richard."
"Yeah, I know you're Rogue. I've seen your picture in the paper too often to be mistaken. I want to talk to you."
"Why?"
"Because I'm chief of police in this town."
Well, you just want to have a social talk, huh?"
"Yeah, about a murder. Come on, Rogue, let's retire to the bar and play questions and answers."
"What about?"
"About what you're doing in town, among other things. Come on, get moving, big shot." "All right now, Rogue, suppose you start talking. What are you doing in Minden under the name of Richard?
Hey, bartender, you put too much sugar in this old-fashioned.
Oh, so you think I like to hear myself talk. I said, what are you doing here?
I'm on a vacation.
Does a man named Stark McVeigh always finance your vacations?
McVeigh. Yes, well, the name sounds familiar.
I'll bet it does. He had a call in for you all day down at the city. He reached you at the Hunt Bar Room a little before 5 o'clock, and he wired you $500 to your office this afternoon. Maybe that's why his name sounds familiar.
Well, could be that.
Well, what was it that made McVeigh think he'd need you $500 worth, Rogue?
He didn't say. Who was McVeigh, anyway? I never met the guy. Never heard of him till he called me.
You think I'll believe that?
How do I know what you believe? I'm telling you the truth. That's all I can be sure of. And what's the idea of the pressure? You got ambitions to hang McVeigh's murder on me?
Uh-huh. You know he's been murdered. How did you know that?
Well, the bellboy told me.
Who did it, Rogue? Who was McVeigh afraid of?
I don't know anything about the guy. I didn't murder him. I hardly ever murder strangers. And now, thanks for the drink and so long.
Wait a minute. You leaving town, Rogue?
I don't think so, no. I like the climate here. It's so peaceful.
Well, don't you leave without seeing me, or you'll come back with your hands cuffed behind you, lying down.
Well, if there's anything I love, it's a clever conversationalist.
Huh? Huh?
Now, I'll make a rule, Egghead. Don't put any of your rural gumshoes on my tail if you like them personally. I don't like to be shattered. Come in.
Here's your ice water, Mr. Rogue.
The name is Richard.
Skip it, skip it. I heard you talking to Chief Reese. I know who you were anyway.
Oh, well, you're a smart lad, huh? Did you know Stark McVeigh?
Sure. He used to be around here quite a bit. In the bar.
What was his racket? What did he do for a living? How long had he been living here in Minden?
Nobody knows where he made his money. He didn't work since he moved here about 2 years ago. Retired, I guess. That's what everybody thought. Always seemed to have plenty of money.
Oh, he did, huh? Well, who were his friends? Was he married?
Look, if I'm going to answer all of those questions, I want to work on the case with you. You need somebody who knows the town. Now, I'm an ex-GI. I work with intelligence. I can be a big help to you.
Okay. Okay, you're working. Now, was McVeigh married?
No. Didn't run around with women much either. I mean, here. Some blonde came down to see him once in a while. Drove a Cadillac convertible. Looked like a movie star.
Hmm. Did McVeigh make many trips? Was he, out of town much?
He traveled quite a bit.
Hmm? Did he have any enemies in town?
Nobody knew him well enough to hate him. He was a kind of a stranger, Mr. Rogue. Nobody got to know him very well.
He live alone?
Yeah. He had a woman come in a couple of times a week to clean up. That's all.
Good. Well, who do you think killed him?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Any suspicious-looking characters been seen around town lately?
Not that I know of. But they could have been here without me knowing it.
Okay. Hey, what's your name?
Buzz Walters.
What time are you off duty?
About an hour, 9 o'clock.
Good, I'll see you then. In the lobby, right?
Yeah. What are you going to do now?
Oh, I'm going out to the house, McVeigh's house, and take a look around.
You know where it is?
I'll find it. See you at 9.
Who is it?
Turn on the lights.
Who is it? Is that you, Hank?
Yeah. Turn on the lights.
Hey, you're not Hank. Who are you? What are you doing here?
Will you turn on the lights so we can talk this thing over, Junior? Oh, you're the guy who bumped McVeigh, huh? Okay, Junior.
Stand right where you are.
And let you shoot at me? That doesn't sound practical. I've got my gun out now. How about taking another shot so I can spot you?
Who are you? The law? Oh!
Okay, Junior. Throw that gun away.
Oh, don't shoot anymore. You hit me.
Let me hear that gun hit the wall. Throw it. Okay. Now, maybe we can talk. Keep your hands down to your sides.
Look, I'm shot. I'm bleeding. You gotta do something for me.
Later. First, Junior, you're going to answer some questions.
Did I startle you?
Huh?
Just hold that pose. Who is this guy, Shorty?
I don't know. He came in here and I thought it was you. I took a shot at him and... But he got me.
Yeah, I see. Well?
You better get somebody to take care of your friend here. He's got a bad chest.
Don't let that worry you. You're going to have worse before long. And we'll start you out like this. Oh.
Hiya, Rogie. Welcome home.
Oh, hello, Yugor. How's everything on Cloud 8?
Oh, it's fine, fine. Say, Rogie, I missed you last week.
Oh, yeah. I had the flu. Yeah, didn't Dennis O'Keefe come up to see you?
Nah, not that Irishman. He doesn't use his head the way you do, Rogie. Say, who did it this time?
I don't know. But I'm gonna get him. If it's the last thing I do.
Oh, you better hurry back downstairs then. You're getting further away every minute.
Huh? What do you mean?
You've got a surprise coming, Rogie. You're a side door tourist right now.
Huh? Oh, well, that settles it. I'm going over the side. So long, Yugor.
So long, Rogie.
Come on, fella. Come out of it.
Huh? Hey, this thing's moving.
Sure, friend. It's okay. You're in a freight car.
Hmm? A freight car?
Well, it seems somebody wrapped you over the skull and threw you in here.
Ooh. Who?
I don't know. You were here when I got here. Don't worry, you'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the first aid. Where are we?
Well, about 10 miles out of Minden. This Red Ball got a hot box and was held up. We're on the big grade going into the mountains.
Yeah. Ah, thanks. Hey, what do you got around my head?
Yeah, you were bleeding. I tore up your shirt and made a bandage of it.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, wait a minute. Where are you going?
I'm going to jump out of this thing.
Are you crazy?
Could be. Hey, look. Yeah, look, I've still got my wallet.
You have?
How come you didn't lift it?
I didn't think of it.
Oh, you're an honest man. Here, here's a 20. Thanks.
Okay.
Well, here goes nothing. Hey, driver! Driver! Ride! Driver! You going into Minden?
Yeah. What happened to you?
Well, I was knocked out and robbed and left on the road. I gotta get back to Minden to report it to the cops.
Okay, buddy. I wouldn't leave anybody out here. But I got a revolver here and don't try any funny stuff.
Me? I don't want to try anything. I just want to get back to Minden.
I'll take you into Minden. Get in.
Thanks. You can let me out here.
Oh, no. Just stay right where you are.
Hmm? Hey, what's the idea? Will you get that heater out of my face?
I'll tell you where to get out.
Oh? Well, when will that be?
When we get to the police station. That's where you're going, mister. So I brought him in here to the police station, Chief. He looks suspicious to me.
Yeah, nice work, Mr. Pollard. We'll take care of him. Thanks.
I hope I did the right thing.
Yeah, you sure did. Thanks for the ride, Mr. Pollard. Goodbye.
You just go right ahead, Pollard. I'll see you later.
Oh, Chief.
Huh?
There's no reward, is there?
No. So long.
Oh. So long.
Well,
Well, I see you're back, Rogue. I told you you'd get in trouble nosing around in this town. Now, you gonna talk?
Well, I haven't much to say, Reese. I went out to McVeigh's house. The door was open. I walked in. Some guy took a shot at me. I shot back. Got him, and while I was trying to find out what it was all about, another guy sneaked up behind me and bent a rod over my head. I woke up in a freight train 10 miles out of town. This Pollard gave me a ride in, and that's the end of the story.
Yeah. Well, how do you figure it?
I don't know, but I want to get back out to that house. You coming with me?
Well, what do you expect to find out there? We combed the house from one end to the other.
Well, there's something going on in your charming little town that needs taken care of, Chief. And how come you don't have men at that house? There was a murder there a few hours ago.
Now, don't you tell me my business, Rogue.
Oh, something smells. Come on. Let's get out to McVeigh's house. I want to do a little combing myself.
Now, you'd better stay in line, Rogue. After all, I'm the chief here, and
Yeah. I've read your star. I don't know whether you're a dumb chief or a smart operator. But we're going to McVeigh's house, and we're going to tear it to pieces until I get a lead. Now, come on. I'll try the door. Don't knock, it may be open.
Okay. Well, close the door.
All right. Now, the lights don't work. The main switch must be pulled.
We'll get by with this flashlight. Come on, let's take a look around.
Hey. You see where that lamp is on the floor over there?
Yeah.
Well, the guy who was shooting at me was lying right by the side of it after I got him.
Oh.
Look, there's blood on the floor. You see it?
What was that?
Seemed to come from that closet. Somebody's in there.
Well, come on out. Come on out, or I'll shoot that door so full of holes we can pull you out through them.
Okay. I'll come out.
Well, hello, Buzz. Welcome to the party.
What are you doing here?
Well, Mr. Rogue told me he was coming out here, and he was supposed to be back to meet me in the lobby at 9 o'clock. He didn't come back, so I decided I'd run out here and look for him.
You got here a little late, Buzz.
Oh, no, I didn't. Well, it was a little late to do you any good, but I saw plenty. I saw them walking around
here. Wait a minute. What do you mean, them?
Two men and a girl. The blonde girl that used to come here to see Mr. McVeigh.
Oh, you mean she was here?
Yep. I hid outside of the window and watched them. They were carrying stuff up from the basement. That is, the girl and this man were, and putting it in the car.
Buzz, did you hear them talk? Did the girl mention his name?
No, she just called him sweetheart or honey or something like that. There was something funny about the other guy.
What?
He never did come out. The other two came out, got into that Cadillac convertible, and drove away about 10 minutes ago.
Well, then there must still be a man in the house.
Yep, he'd been shot. He had trouble getting around.
Must have been the guy I shot.
I've been looking for him.
Well, why didn't you call me?
I was working for Mr. Rogue. I know he'd be here.
Oh, good boy, Buzz. Now, come on, let's shake this house down. If that thug is in here, we better find him before he finds us. Well, this is the best-kept basement I ever saw in a bachelor's house, Buzz. How about it?
It's sure clean.
Hey, look. There are a few muddy footsteps going this way.
They're going both ways, Mr. Rogue.
Yeah, right over here and then back out. That's funny. They walk right up to this blank wall and then back again.
Maybe the stuff they were carrying out of the basement was stacked up against the wall.
I doubt it.
Hey, there's nobody up here. Shook down every room, every closet up here. There's nobody.
Well, we're even. There's nobody down here either.
I tell you, that guy they called Shorty never came out of the house. I was watching and I know he didn't.
You're imagining things, kid. People don't just disappear. If he was here, we could see him now, couldn't we?
If we could find him. I've got an idea.
Yeah?
Well, there must be a hidden door or something in this wall here someplace.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Rogie.
Okay. So I've been reading too many comic books, but I'm making my guess, and I'm going to see if I'm right. You see these footprints coming over here and going back again?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Maybe there's a loose tile in the wall or something.
Yeah. Listen now. There it is, Reese, you diehard. You hear that? It's hollow in there. Now, come on, let's figure this thing out.
Hey, here is a loose tile, right here.
Let me see. Yeah.
Well, I'll be...
Are you sure you're surprised, Sheriff?
Why, I...
There's a regular doorknob in there.
Yeah, there is.
Well, it's locked, but I think I can take care of that. Look out. Now, that ought to do it. Flash your light in there, Reese.
Okay.
Oh, brother, look at that.
Huh? Hey, he's dead.
We'll return to our story in just a moment. But now I'd like to ask the ladies a question. Have you ever had the shampoo blues? The shampoo blues, of course, is that dejected feeling you get when your hair becomes dry and unmanageable after a shampoo. If that's been your experience, then here's a way to beat those blues. Try Fitch's Saponified Coconut Oil Shampoo. Use this clear, golden liquid shampoo as often as you like. It will never leave your hair dry or difficult to manage. That's because Fitch's Saponified Shampoo is made from pure, natural oils. Just a little makes oceans of cleansing lather. Rinses out easily, too, for Fitch's Saponified Shampoo contains its own patented rinsing agent. It leaves your hair soft, lustrous, and easy to manage even right after you shampoo it. Yes, you can always use Fitch's Saponified Shampoo with complete confidence and freedom from the shampoo blues. So use it regularly. Buy an economical bottle at your drug or toilet goods counter, or ask for a professional application at your beauty shop. And now we return to Dick Powell as Private Investigator Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Well, you could have knocked me down with an atom bomb when we opened that secret door in the basement of McVeigh's house and saw what was inside. It was an air-conditioned room with fluorescent lighting and strictly occupational furniture. And sitting at the table in the swivel chair was the body of the man named Shorty. Buzz, the bellboy, said,
"Hey, he's dead."
Yeah, they let him have one right through the temple.
Good Lord. Two murders in one day. In Minden.
That'll put the place on the map, won't it?
I wonder why they killed him.
Well, it looks pretty simple to me. I got him through the chest when he shot at me, and a wounded man is kind of a handicap to a mob that's trying to make a getaway with a set of counterfeit plates.
Counterfeit? Is that what they were doing?
Yeah. This place is one of the best equipped engraving shops I've ever been in. You knew that right away, didn't you, Reese?
Oh, sure.
Right there. That's what McVeigh's racket was, huh?
Yeah. Come on, let's take a look around.
Here. Look here.
What did you find?
Exhibit A. A whole stack of $10 bills.
Let me see.
Yeah.
All with the same serial numbers. Oh, there's Phony's, the chorus girl's accent. Well, Reese, let's get back to town and get some post-mortem fingerprints off your late pal McVeigh. And some information on the license number Buzz got off that Cadillac.
Do you think we'll get him, Mr. Rogue?
Oh, we're a lead pipe cinch, Buzz. You know, if you hadn't been sharp enough to jot down that license number, we'd have been out of luck.
Even Reese can trace that.
Yeah, think you could use a guy like me. Regular Mr. Rogue?
Oh, well, I'm sorry, kid. I'm a lone wolf. But you'll make some dough out of this case. You can bet your shirt there's a reward out for this mob, and we'll split it. You know, Junior, if you hadn't been around that house and seen those two drive away without Shorty, this crime may have never been solved.
That's right, I guess. Nobody would ever have looked for the secret room. You know, I've always wanted to be a detective.
Well, Rogie, the Department of Motor Vehicles says this is the address that car's registered to. Miss Sylvia Adams, 1924 Euclid Avenue in Los Angeles.
Well, that makes it my meet, Reese.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Buzz. You want to drive to L.A. with me?
Sure, Mr. Rogue. I want to be in at the kill on this case.
Well, this is the house. Miss Sylvia Adams, 1924 Euclid Avenue.
What are we going to do?
Well, first you go see if the car's in the garage while I take a look around.
Okay.
Hey, Buzz. Come here. Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Hey, look in that window out there. That man. He's the one who knocked me out.
Hmm. Oh, is that the man and the blonde woman you saw leaving McVeigh's house?
Yep. That's them.
Looks like they're having a beef. Ah, that's good. Buzz, we're going to do a little listening.
Oh, how are you going to get in?
Back door. Come on.
But it's probably locked.
Yeah, could be. But if I haven't a skeleton key on my chain that'll open that door, I'm going to get a new locksmith. Now, quiet. Come on.
You didn't have to kill them both, Hank. You're a trigger-happy fool.
Will you stop harping on that? They're dead. That's all there is to it. We're rid of them, and we got the counterfeit plates. We got no more troubles, baby. From now on, it's you and me.
It is?
What do you mean?
Just that I don't have to put up with you anymore either. One word out of me and the cops will put you under the jail, Hank. That's what they do with killers, you know? I don't like you. I never did like you. But you're going to keep me in money and minks and everything I want as long as I live. Killer.
It may not be long, you little double-crossing.
Hank, put that gun away. Hank. Hank, no.
So you were going to double-cross me.
Hank, no, no.
So all that sweet talk was just an act.
No.
Well, here's my act, baby.
No, no.
Six from Dutch Ryan, Hank. Drop the gun. Pick it up, Buzz.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Well, now, that's not very flattering. I'm Richard Rogue. But we'll talk about that later, lovely. Right now, get up against that wall, both of you. Start singing and make the lyrics cover a couple of murders. Come on, sing! Well, that was the end of that story. It all happened over a woman, almost everything does. When I got through chatting with Sylvia, I had the whole story. McVeigh and Hank had a sweet little counterfeiting deal all set up and running smoothly. McVeigh, a master engraver, made the plates and hand-printed them in his shop in Minden. Hank wholesaled the stuff. Everything was just too divine. Until Hank moved in on McVeigh's girl, Sylvia, and got caught at it. McVeigh wanted to hire me to front for him in exposing Hank as a counterfeiter, and that's what started all of the excitement and the murders. We found the counterfeiting plate in Sylvia's Cadillac, and I collected $5,000 reward for cracking the case. I split it with Buzz. He was a happy kid. Yes, well, as I've always said, cherche la femme, to coin a phrase. It means find the woman. And by the way, if you have any luck, cherche one for me too, will you? I'm feeling much better and not doing a thing tonight. You know what I mean. This is Dick Powell again, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed our story tonight. Ray Buffum wrote it. Leith Stevens composed and conducted the music, and Dee Engelbach produced and directed. But don't forget now, you've all got a date with us next Thursday night. We have a story for you about a man with $1 million, a beautiful wife, and an overpowering jealousy. We call it Best Laid Plans. So make a date with us, will you? Thanks for listening, and now here's Jim Doyle.
Don't forget to tune in again next Thursday, same time. And be sure to see Dick Powell in his newest RKO picture, Cornered, at your local theater soon. And remember, tune in again next Thursday, same time, same station, when you will again hear Dick Powell as Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery. Remember, if dandruff is your problem, ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo. It's the only shampoo made whose guarantee to remove dandruff is backed by one of the world's largest insurance firms. No other shampoo can make this statement. Ask for Fitch's Dandruff Remover Shampoo at your drug or toilet goods counter, barber or beauty shop. Fitch is spelled F-I-T-C-H.
Dick Powell as Richard Rogue in Rogue's Gallery.
Well, after all that tough stuff and mayhem, it's time for a little comedy, and who better to do that than Jack Benny? From 1949, here's Jack Benny's show and Lunch at the Brown Derby.
The Jack Benny Program.
Starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester Dennessy, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Gentlemen, one of the most popular restaurants in the country is the Brown Derby in Hollywood. So let's go back to yesterday afternoon and look in as the Brown Derby's head waiters handle the overflow luncheon crowd.
Oh, Gus, did you see Mr. Gable at his usual place?
No, Julius. Mr. Gable joined Eve Arden and her party.
Well, that's good. There's so many people waiting.
Well, perhaps we can set up some more tables. Hey, Julius, look who's coming in. Jack Benny. You take care of him.
No, Gus. It's your turn this time.
No, it's your turn.
All right. I'll take care of him. He changed networks. Why doesn't he change restaurants?
Oh, Jack, here comes Chilius.
Yeah, he'll get us a table.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Benny.
Hello, Chilius. I'd like a table. They have some lovely tables at Romanoff's. I know.
Romanoff sent us here.
Good afternoon, Miss Livingston. I didn't see you. I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Benny. You'll have to wait. Every table in the place is taken. Well, maybe we... Hey, Mary, look. Hey, look, there's Jimmy Stewart having lunch all by himself. I'll ask him if we can sit at his table.
But Jack, if he's eating by himself, maybe he prefers to be alone.
Oh, don't be silly, Mary. You'll be glad to have company. Come on. Only, let me do the talking. Hey, Mary! Look who's here!
Hmm? Oh, hello, Jack. Hello, Mary.
Well, if it isn't Jimmy Stewart!
You know, Jack, Hollywood's a funny place. You say, well, if it isn't Jimmy Stewart, and everybody in the Brown Derby applauds.
Yes. By the way, Jimmy, we're in a hurry and all the tables are taken. Would you mind if we joined you?
How can he say no? You're already eating his rolls.
There's enough for both of us.
Sure. Come on, sit down here. Here, I'll make room for you, Mary.
Well, thank you.
There we are. Now, Jack, I'll move over to...
Oh, just sit still, Jimmy. You needn't move for me. I'll squeeze right in here and then we can... Whoops! Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I knocked over the pitcher and spilled the water.
Oh, that's all right. With this weather, it froze before it hit the floor.
That's right. And here, Jimmy, let me hand you my napkin. And... I knocked over the ketchup bottle.
Better wipe it off, Jimmy. You look like an ad for Blood on the Moon.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
You know, Jack, I've been sitting here eating for 30 minutes. You've been here 10 seconds, and you've got more on me than I've got in me.
Well, I guess it's because we're in such a hurry.
May I take your orders, please?
Yes. I'll have a club sandwich and a cup of coffee.
Yes, sir. Yours, Miss Livingston?
Oh, gee, I don't know what to have. What's that you're eating, Jimmy? Oh, it looks delicious.
Oh, this is something my mother always used to make for me. It's my favorite dish.
What is it?
Matzo ball soup.
Oh.
Chilius, I'll have a Caesar salad and a pot of tea.
Yes, Miss Livingston.
By the way, Jimmy, I saw your latest picture. You gotta stay happy. And you and Joan Fontaine certainly make a wonderful combination.
Oh, well, thanks, Mary.
You made that picture for Universal, didn't you, Jimmy?
Yes. Before that, I made Rope for Warner's, and then I made one over at MGM, one at RKO, one at 20th Century, and then one for Paramount.
What's the matter? Can't you keep a steady job?
Jack, if just that Jimmy prefers to freelance.
Oh. By the way, Jack, what have you been doing lately? Well, I've been rather busy with radio. Radio? Well, aren't you a little late getting into that with television and everything? No, Jimmy, I've been in radio for 17 years. But I haven't made a picture since I was at Warner's. And I left there because there was always a big issue, you know, when it came to casting.
Well, I can understand that, Jack. You and Errol Flynn are the same type.
Yes, we are.
Jack had the same trouble with MGM, but they decided to keep Lassie.
Anyway, Jimmy, I'm not appearing in pictures because I'm producing them now.
Oh, I didn't know you were producing pictures, Jack.
Oh, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I just finished my first one. It's called The Lucky Stiff, starring Dorothy L'Amour, Brian Dunleavy, and Claire Trevor, soon to be seen at your neighborhood theater.
Jack, what are you yelling for?
Jimmy, if these people can eat here, they can afford to go and see it, you know. You know, a plug's a plug. And then,
Mr. Benny, if you'd like, you can move over to this table here.
Chilius, I thought you didn't have any empty tables.
We've got a lot of them now.
Now, let's see. What were we talking about before the food came?
The picture you produced, The Lucky Salad.
No, The Lucky Stiff.
Oh.
Say, you know, Jimmy, I've just been thinking. You're a nice guy, and here you've been having a tough, not working steady at 1E1 Studio. So I'm going to do you a big favor and put you in my next picture. Jimmy, what happened? Jimmy.
Oh, that's the first time I ever saw anyone choke on a matzo ball.
I probably surprised him with my offer.
Yes, you certainly did. But, Jack, the only reason I can't accept it is because I have so many other commitments.
Well, Jimmy, we can make it after you've fulfilled your other commitments.
But, Jack, after that, I want to take a vacation.
No buts, Jimmy, my boy. Look, I'll make a big star out of you. Now, you got to let me make this picture with you. Now, what's the salary you usually get per picture?
$200,000.
Take the water.
The water is on the floor.
So are you.
Oh, yes.
Jack, you better discuss this with Jimmy some other time. It's getting late and the whole gang will be waiting at the studio for rehearsal.
Yeah. I'll get the check. Waiter, our check. Waiter.
Jack, just call him. Don't wave your toupee.
Jimmy, this isn't a toupee. It's just a small hairpiece.
Hairpiece? I'd like to have a fur coat like that.
I'd like to have you read your line right. What?
Suppose I run along and start the rehearsal.
Well.
I'll see you later, Jack. Goodbye, Jimmy.
So long, Mary.
Say, Jimmy, have you heard the way people are talking about Mary lately?
Talking about Mary?
Yes, I hate to see this, say this, really, but have you noticed... have you noticed how she always leaves the table just before they bring the check? It's embarrassing, you know? I hate to see it, too, you know? But anyway, Jimmy, getting back to the picture I want you to do for me. Now, I have a story.
Excuse me for interrupting, but I happen to have a snapshot of you, Mr. Benny. Would you mind autographing it?
Oh, I'd be happy. So, Jimmy, would you mind lending me your fountain pen?
Not at all. Here you are, Jack.
Thanks. Let's see. With my very best wishes, Jack Benny. Here you are, lady.
Thank you very much. It was nice meeting you.
Oh, wait a minute, lady. This is Jimmy Stewart. Don't you want his autograph?
No, but 30 years ago I would have.
Now,
Now, look, Jimmy, I've got to run over to CBS and rehearse my show. Suppose you come along with me, and we'll discuss a deal for a picture.
No, Jack, I'd rather not.
Here's the check, gentlemen.
No, thank you, Julius.
No, Jimmy, let me take it. After all, it was your table, and Mary and I barged in. So I insist on paying it.
No, Jack, I'd feel better if I paid for it.
Well, if your health is involved, go ahead. I gotta run along and... Gee, my hands are kind of sticky. Where's my napkin? Oh, here it is. I can't pull it up. What's the matter with this napkin?
You've got my shirt tail.
No. Here, I'm through with it. Go on, Jimmy.
Goodbye, Jack.
I didn't realize it was so late. I hope they started the rehearsal without me. Hold it, Phil! Phil, hold it! I'm here now.
Oh, hiya, Jackie.
Hey, hello, Jack.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello, kid.
But by the way, Jack, did Jimmy Stewart agree to let you produce his next picture?
Well, not yet, Mary, but I'm sure he'll come around to talk to me about it. Now, come on, kids. We've got a rehearsal to do, so let's get started.
Mr. Benny, I've read over my part 3 times already.
Well, good, Dennis. It's nice to know that you're diligent.
Diligent? Are we doing a gangster sketch?
That's diligent!
Well, don't I get nothing for being close?
No. And, Phil, look at Phil. Watch your cue. Now, you come into the sketch on page 21.
21?
Yes. That's all your fingers, all your toes, and one more. Now, Mary, in this sketch, you're going to play the part of Dennis's wife, and you've just gotten married.
Dennis and I are newlyweds?
Yes. And you're in Niagara Falls on your honeymoon.
Where am I?
What?
I don't know about you, kid, but I'm on page 22.
That's 21.
I got 11 toes.
Phil, you miscounted. Try again. Now, Mary, as soon as we...
Jack, what was that?
I don't know. Who fired that shot?
I did. That reverberation you just heard was the result of a firearm that I discharged to test the acoustical quality of the studio.
Acoustical quality? Who are you?
I'm Herbert, your sound effects man.
Oh. Well, look, Herbert, don't try any more shots. All I want are the sound effects that are written into the script.
Well, you can depend on me, Mr. Benny. For years, I have devoted my artistry to dramatic shows, and I have mastered the most difficult sound effects ever heard on radio.
Really?
Yes. Oh. One in particular baffled every sound effects man in the industry. But by perseverance and sheer ingenuity, I managed to reproduce it.
I see.
It was on the Prudential Hour. The scene was a moonlit night, and two lovers were dancing out on the patio.
Oh, yes, I heard that show.
As the soft music filled the balmy summer evening, the two lovers drew closer and closer until his cheek lightly brushed against hers. That was the most delicate sound effect of all.
Well, I should imagine it was. How did you get the sound of his cheek delicately brushing against hers?
I slapped a hot water bottle with a piece of raw liver.
Say, those are the kind of effects we need on our show. Now, Mary, I'll write a scene where you brush my cheek, you know, against your cheek against mine. See?
But Jack, liver's 90 cents a pound.
Well, just kick me in the pan, said she. Now, Don, let's take the rehearsal from that scene where we're in the house and there's a knock on the door.
Okay, Jack.
Herbert, give us a knock on the door. No, Herbert, a little louder. Herbert, that still isn't loud enough. Why is the knock so soft?
I use Jergens.
Oh. Well, then maybe we ought to have a doorbell instead of a knock. There, that's more like it.
Well, I didn't do that.
What?
Jack, there's really someone at the door.
Huh? Oh, Don, you're near the door. Open it, will you?
Say, Jack, it's Jimmy Stewart.
You see, Mary, what did I tell you? Came after me already. Come on in, Jimmy.
Thanks.
What can I do for you?
Well, Jack, I hate to break in on your rehearsal like this, but there's something I want to talk to you about.
Oh, Jimmy, it's quite all right. We have plenty of time.
Not me. I got to go to Niagara Falls to meet Mary.
Dennis, be quiet. Now, Jimmy, what is it you wanted to talk to me about?
It's about the picture.
You see, Mary? Now, Jimmy, we can start production on the picture just as soon as...
I mean
we...
the picture you autographed at the Derby. You kept my fountain pen.
Oh.
I wouldn't have bothered, but it's a lifetime pen and I'm young yet.
Yes. Here's your pen, Jimmy.
Thanks.
Now, Jimmy, let's get back to business. I know you made a swell picture call. You got to stay happy. But I can do so much for you that...
Jack, why don't you leave him alone? Can't you see that Jimmy's not interested?
But, Mary, I can help him.
He doesn't need help. He's already won an Academy Award.
An Academy Award, Jimmy? For what picture?
Philadelphia Story.
Who cares about Philadelphia? I'm going to Niagara Falls.
Now, be quiet.
You know, Mary, you're just about the only sensible one around here. Hey, you know something else? I think you're very pretty, too.
Oh, Jimmy, do you really mean it?
Yeah, sure. Of course I do. Come over here a minute, Mary. You know, you have such beautiful eyes and such a lovely complexion.
Oh, Jimmy.
And maybe sometime I could take you out dancing in the moonlight. Just the two of us, maybe? Out on the patio?
He's getting close to her, Herbert. Get ready with the liver. Mr. Day.
I don't like dramatic actors get bigger laughs than comedians. Now, look, Jimmy. Let's settle that picture deal we've been talking about.
Well, Jack,
you're supposed to be mad here.
Oh, Jack, I just can't make a picture with you this year.
Academy Award, he can't read.
Jack, I just can't make a picture with you this year. You'll have to excuse me. I'm going over to dressing room G. I have to look over a dramatic script.
Oh, that's right next door, Jimmy. I'll show you where it is. Kids, I'll be back in a minute. So, Jimmy, as I pointed out to you, it'll be to your advantage to make this picture for me.
Jack, I realize now that when you took my fountain pen in the Brown Derby, you wanted me to follow you around.
What?
So, when you took me into the dressing room and told me to lie down and relax and put my feet up on the chair, I should have known you were up to something.
Huh?
Jack, give me back my shoes.
Oh, yes, your shoes. Here you are, Jimmy.
I'll thank you for my socks, too.
Oh, yeah, your socks. Now, Jimmy, as long as you've got a few minutes while you're putting on your shoes and socks, let's talk about the picture. Now, if you will just...
Now, more talk, Jack. I told you I have too many commitments, and that settles it.
Okay, Jimmy, but if you just change your mind, come around and see me.
Well, I won't change my mind.
Say it isn't so. Little does he know. La 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 la. Now come on, kids, let's finish rehearsal and make it snappy. Rochester's waiting for me out in the parking lot with my car.
Well, Mr. Benny will be out in about a half hour. I better start warming up the motor. Must be something wrong with the battery again. I better take a look. Now let's see. There's the battery and it has the positive and the negative. Then there are the sparks. The sparks are supposed to go from the electrons to the electrodes. Or maybe they go from the generator to the distributor. Then again, maybe they go from NBC to CBS. I think this loose wire here is the trouble, so I'll just fasten it and...
Hello, Rochester.
Huh? Oh, hello, Mr. Stewart.
Say, has Mr. Bennett come out of the studio yet?
No, but he should be here any minute. By the way, Mr. Stewart, I was over to your house the day before Christmas. Mr. Bennett had me drop off a package for you. Did you get it?
Yes, but this time there was too much starch in the collars.
Well, don't look at me. I'm rough dry. Mr. Bennett's the starch man.
You know, Rochester, your boss amazes me. How long has he been in the laundry business?
Oh, a long, long time. Say, Mr. Stewart, you were born May 8th, 1911, weren't you?
Yes, that's right. How'd you know?
You used to take our diaper service.
I did?
Yeah. It broke Mr. Benny's heart the way you and Gary Cooper grew up so fast.
But, Rochester, I still can't understand a man of Mr. Benny's position having a laundry service in his home.
Oh, the laundry's just a sideline.
A sideline?
Uh-huh. Mr. Benny does more business in his living room than Eastern Columbia Broadway at night. Yeah. On dollar day, you can't get near the joint.
All right, Rochester. Are we ready to go?
Yes, boss. All set.
Good. Now, first, I want you to drive me to...
Jack. I'd like to see you for a second.
Oh, hello, Jimmy. So you finally changed your mind and you want to appear in my picture?
No, 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 it's not that. There's something I'd like to ask you.
What is it?
Now, look, Jack, you've been using little tricks so I'd follow you around all day,
Well, yes, I must admit I did. You're not angry, are you, Jimmy?
Oh, no, no, no. But tell me one thing.
What is it, Jimmy?
I know how you got my fountain pen.
Uh-huh.
I can even figure out how you got my shoes and my socks.
Yeah.
But how in the name of heaven did you get the filling out of my tooth?
I'll tell you when we finish the picture. Come on, Rochester, drive it home.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thanks for being here this week, and remember, join us next week for more great old-time radio on the Radio Theater Channel's weekly podcast.